This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 41.
Yeah, this is 41, and we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to look at two movies. We're going to look at a classic horror movie, in this case, the original Prom Night from 1980, and then we're going to look at its remake. So we're going to look at the, what year was it that they remade that? The 2008 Prom Night. So
did you go to your high school prom?
I did.
And did it, was it charged with incredible resonance and meaning?
No resonance whatsoever, man. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, I got to say, like, I mean, looking at both these movies, but even more so with the second, the remake, like, you know, they always say the prom is so imbued with such significance, and, you know, oh, this is like the greatest night of our lives. I mean, this is not just prom. I mean, these are so many movies. They always say the prom is going to be, like, we'll never have a night like this. And I'm like, what the fuck is it? It's just a prom. It's a stupid dance. Like, you can't even drink. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, my prom, I mean, we went to the same high school. I went to the, I think we graduated different years, right?
Yeah, because I'm a year older. But yeah, we went to the same high school. Mm-hmm. But we grew up in a very big city. So you got to remember, in places, small town America, the prom,
I guess,
is sort of like Friday Night Lights, which for our foreign listeners, is the high school football game in a small town. And this is a big deal. Every Friday night, they play football. In a town of 2,000, 3,000 people, they'll do this. So the prom is the biggest thing in some of these kids' lives. Mm-hmm. They rent a limo. They maybe will put on a suit for maybe the first time.
Mm. And well, last time ever. I put on a tux for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, like, I went stag, right? Oh. I mean, which is not... No, well, why are you laughing?
Oh, my apologies. No one asked you. You could have been
I was gonna say,
sympathetic character in one of these movies.
I don't want to say anything, but I was asked out. I was asked. A girl did ask me. I declined.
Okay. I see.
I don't want to say why.
Okay.
Because, you know, she may be listening.
You'll protect the innocent. Yeah.
Exactly. But I ended up going stag. I mean, at that point, by the time she asked me, the plans were made. Mm. I went stag. Another friend of mine from high school also went stag. So the problem was just stupid and ridiculous. But at the end, it's all about the after party, right?
And hey, I'm no better. Me and my girlfriend at the time, you know, she wore Doc Martin boots and had dyed pink hair.
I remember her,
We were, you know, insufferable indie rock types, so we had too much cred to deal with prom. So we
had tons of cred, Chris.
Yeah.
I remember in high school. There's Crystal Barrow. He's the most credible guy in high school.
You know? So we were insufferable dicks, so we opted not to go to the prom. So we just hung out and watched whatever movies.
Prom night?
No.
No, but anyway, so I this is going to sound a little, for lack of a better term, gay, okay, but me and my other buddy that went stag, we got a room in the hotel, but because the only room that wasn't being, you know, used for, like, you know, losing your virginity or what have you, our room became the party room, and it was incredible, man.
I mean, nice.
It was a fucking rager. I mean, it was a good party. So I'm going to say the prom itself is kind of is lame, stupid.
Yeah.
It's what comes.
It's just
afterwards.
A pretense for getting drunk and laid afterwards.
Hopefully getting laid,
But it's a little bit ironic that prom night, the original, has nothing to do with the prom at the beginning and only does later on. So we've got this wonderful backstory of these kids in what looks like an abandoned sanitarium or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're running about playing a game, and it's sort of like a variant on tag.
Like hide and go seek almost, maybe?
Yeah.
Or something like that,
Three kids are chasing the one kid, or four kids chasing the one, and they're going, the killers are coming, the killers are coming, the killers are coming. And so they're chasing each other about, and as they get tagged, then they become the tagger, and they keep looking for more taggies. Mm-hmm. So they're chasing this poor kid named Robin.
Hammond.
And she's sort of the weak...
the weakest member of the group.
Well, she's wearing a blue and white striped sweater. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, a nautical themed sweater. Exactly. Yeah, it's over for you.
You look ridiculous.
So, they chase her toward a window, and by accident, she falls out, and she loses her footing, falls to her death.
Yep, and that was a pretty, you know what, and then it was kind of cool, actually, because as you recall, a pane of glass then sort of fell, and kind of like, you know, semi-decapitated her, you know?
It was really very creepy. Well, anytime kids are involved in anything, this and chanting, kids chanting is immediately creepy.
Kids are shits, man, and they were real shits in this one, and I mean, to see a 10-year-old girl, you know, semi-decapitated, it was a good rip-roaring opening. Unfortunately, the movie then sort of, you know, went down a gear or two until the ending. We'll get to that.
And it also went up, as we should say. The chronology is the funniest bit here, because then you take these same kids and you advance them 6 years in age, which is what they said, and they could not look any older. Like, these are about to grad. These are seniors in high school getting ready for their prom. They look like PhD students.
Well, I mean, the most egregious example being, of course, Scream Queen Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
I mean, you know, fresh off Halloween and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And she, I mean, you know, you mentioned that she basically looked like faculty roaming the halls of this high school.
In Halloween, I wasn't sure. I thought she was university faculty or a TA or a master's student. I didn't know she was a freshman because she looked, in Halloween, she looked 30. Here, it's like, what, 2 years following Halloween?
Yeah,
so here she looks at least like 30. Jamie Lee Curtis, all 32 years old of her, she's plays Kim, and she's dating, I believe, the son of the principal, and the principal, it should be noted, this is a Canadian classic. This is like Black Christmas that we've discussed before. It's none other than Lieutenant Frank Drebin from Police Squad, Leslie Nielsen, the principal, who looks about 60. He looks way too old to be having a kid in high school, but we digress. We already made enough age-related ageism humor at their expense, but that was pretty incredible.
Well, I mean, this was filmed in Toronto. Northern Toronto, suburban Toronto. It was meant to take place in Ohio, but you know, you see, like, you know, Toronto Transit Commission, TTC, stops, and you're mentioning that the school you attended.
Yeah, I attended the school. They filmed. Well, I didn't. Well, I took some, computer classes, remedial HTML web classes at this school, and it's in Midtown Toronto, and just
at the time, did you know it was a primary school? When you
I did not. Oh, okay. I looked it up and thought, that's pretty amazing. But there are various points in this film where I sort of recognize the different locales. So it's cool to see Toronto in any movie, and especially a horror film, even if it's, again, Ohio.
Yeah, well, especially when it's an American horror movie.
Well, yeah, it's in Ohio, whatever. It's on a Great Lake. They they were close enough.
Yeah.
Ontario, Ohio, they both start with O and end in O. There you go. This is a classic 80s movie, right?
Right.
So you got to have, you have a creepy gardener.
Right.
Who is pure red herring. He leers at all the different girls. And
he was called a psychopath at one point, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
He's got those wonderfully taped eyeglasses, right?
Yeah, of course. And
you got your other red herring in the form of the escaped mental patient.
Yes. And there's also the nerd. And he drives a van, and it's sort of a cool van. His name is Slick. And he does not look particularly slick.
No,
I guess
he's
ironically named.
Yep.
He's sort of a pudgy, sort of, you know, stout character.
Mm-hmm.
All these disparate types, they get together and prepare for the greatest moment of their lives.
While they're getting
harassing phone calls.
So one thing, the harassing phone calls we didn't mention yet, but before that, like, we should say, okay, so you mentioned the Hammond. So, I mean, Jamie Lee is dating
the son of the principal. Yeah.
Who is the brother of the girl that got slain, right? The principal is the father of the girl that got slain. Now, there is this man by the name of Leonard Merck, and he was... Because remember, the kids, like, when they basically want to cover up this whole thing, right?
Yes.
So they, you know, so they...
Don't tell anyone. They make a pact.
Kept
quiet.
This
will all just go away.
And, so this guy by the name of Leonard Murch was wrongfully accused, and he was deemed to be psychopathic or what have you. And he was in a mental in a sanitarium, and then he escaped.
He was a catatonic schizophrenic.
Yeah.
So they pin everything on him.
Yeah, so he was wrongfully accused of Robin's murder. But anyway, again, you know, because then... As these girls are getting ready for the greatest night of their life, they keep getting these phone calls, and...
he's saying, you know, not so much I know who you are, but it implies that they're guilty of something and mm-hmm. that he's going to seek some sort of retribution.
Mm-hmm. One of the girls' name is Jude, and mm-hmm. he's like, Jude, can you come out to play?
Like a warrior. Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, so anyway, there's other little, in this high school, we got the character of Lou.
Yeah, he's just the classic retrograde, activistic, meathead imbecile.
Yeah.
And he just, beats the shit out of people, and he gets... I guess hauled into the office at some point and expelled, but he's determined.
Like, you're a debt to the school and you're a debt to society. And, this is like French Rabbit telling him this. And but what I love about Lou is he had this amazing monobrow. That was awesome. Yeah. But anyway, you're saying he's determined.
Maybe that was part of phrenology, where you could determine whether someone's propensity for criminality based mm-hmm. on the shape of their skull. Well, you most certainly can do that with a uni-eyebrow, because that's just bad news. Unibrow mm-hmm. means is closely linked to psychopathy, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he's also dating this girl named Wendy, who's a real bitch, and she's kind of like Jamie Lee Curtis's nemesis and so on. But,
yeah, and she was one of the original kids mm-hmm. who pushed the other one out the window, not in so many words, but...
Yeah, so you were mentioning that Lou is determined to go to the prom.
Even though he's been expelled, right?
Yeah. So let's talk about the prom. So this is pretty amazing, because what they did is they turned the high school gym into, here in like Northern Ontario, Northern Toronto, into Studio 54. I mean, you had your your light-up disco floor, the squares light up and stuff, and you had your...
Lots of boogieing and shimmying.
Lots of boogieing, and Disco Stu would be proud. I mean,
And Jamie Lee should be proud.
Yeah,
like, she does some badass Studio 54. That's the way I like it. Dance moves
that would not be out of place in Saturday Fever. I mean, it was pretty. She really did know how to cut a rug.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yep, and was quite. They even had their own little theme song. Prom night, everything is all right. Exactly. We were mentioning that. It sounds like that.
But, it sounds like Motown.
Yeah, that song was incessantly played over and over again. But, this is a horror film. We're not really talking a lot about killings, right? Because they really did
pretty slow build-up, slow burn.
The body count did not really start until about an hour into the movie. Yeah. But once the kills start coming, they're pretty good, I gotta say.
Yeah, and it's the fairly standard, antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
He's masked. He at various points uses an axe, but mostly a shard of glass, I believe, mm-hmm. and at very times a knife too. So he starts to hunt down some of the prom goers.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ones that were complicit,
and anyone who happened to get in the way as well.
Like Slick, and that was actually my favorite kill. Is Slick in the van.
Yeah, Slick. He brought a lady friend back to his partying van, and the van at this point should be said did not have any wizard decals on it, but it was still cool mm-hmm. that a guy this nerdy and pudgy, he's basically the Jonah Hill of this whole group, that he's able to stoop a fairly attractive woman while smoking weed. It was pretty. He lived up to his name, it turns out.
Because remember he had this history book, and when you opened it, there was about 30 joints in there, so that was pretty cool.
And then that was filmed at Toronto's Scarborough Bluffs, which is sort of a little bit like the White Cliffs of Dover, except not nearly as high. And it's sort of East Toronto, and sort of a place where people go and party up overlooking Lake Ontario. So it was kind of interesting to see that as well as Torontonians. This year's city showcase.
So there's this whole blah 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 about who's gonna be named prom king and queen, and Jim Lee and everything was the queen, and they at one point they're fitted with these crowns, look like the Burger King crowns. They're really ridiculous looking. But the greatest night of their life was besmirched by this killer, and
he lopped the head off, I think, the prom king at some point.
That was really cool. There was some good gory kills. I said, it took a while, but it was a slow burn. I believe the body count was 8. But then, there were good gore kills near the end. And there was a great scene of Leslie Nielsen cutting a rug on the dance floor.
In full tux.
Yeah.
Looking exactly Frank Drebin when he had that romance with Priscilla Presley.
Yeah.
It's just great.
So, this is... Prom Night is... it's a classic 80s slasher, but a very minor classic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was good. I would give it a good 3.5 stars.
Oh, for sure.
which now leads us to
The Hangover.
Yes,
from that prom night.
Because we talked before about every good prom needs a good after party, right?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, after an after party, you're going to have a terrible hangover,
mm-hmm.
and as I did, but for my after party, but. And of course, now we're living in the age of remakes, and I mean, they're remaking any and every horror film from the late 70s and 80s, and they remade this one. And this was remade in 2008, and...
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, how it removed the conceit of having one of the guys going on a killing spree who was there when the girl got killed, and he's seeking retribution. So that people get their comeuppance, who he believes were complicit in the death of this girl. Prom Night 2008 has none of that, which is really weird. And that was a really interesting beginning
to be honest with
kids.
You, yeah.
Why would they do that?
This was a remake in name only. I mean,
yeah,
really?
There was a prom, and that's it.
Yeah.
And all comparisons to Prom Night end right there.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I gotta tell you, man, like, this movie was fucking execrable. It was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. It was just like, I mean, how many more synonyms can I give you, Reprehensible.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible. Disgusting.
So, in lieu of creepy kids chanting and chasing another kid and bullying them, which mm-hmm. is what anyone can relate to, and which is inherently scary, you just get the killing of this one woman's family. And
one
then
young
her
girl, yeah.
Young girl, and then flash forward 3 years, and her PTSD. So
we gotta say, okay, so there's this girl played by Brittany Snow, mm-hmm. right? And she comes home one day to find like her father and brother,
her father and brother who were killed. Yeah,
and she's hiding under the bed, and then she sees her mother get slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the there's no mystery. The killer happens to be her teacher. Okay.
Yeah, her teacher's stalking her, which is
really creepy because at this point she's like 14 years old, and he's
yeah.
and he wants to be with her, and he kills so that they could be together, and then he gets locked up in some sort of mental institution, and then he and she's suffering PTSD, and now she's been adopted by her aunt and uncle,
mm-hmm.
and I gotta say, I mean,
yeah, she's having flashbacks and
yeah.
whatnot.
I mean, I gotta say, I mean, I think the kids did look a bit more age appropriate in this one.
Yeah, this one they flash forwarded 3 years instead of six,
mm-hmm.
and they looked at least like freshmen instead of grad students. So I'll hand it to them there. They looked 21 rather than 18, which mm-hmm. is forgivable in this
but
case.
But they were still obnoxious millennials who like would make
yeah.
duck faces, and taking selfies and so
yeah.
on and so forth, and. Anyhow, so this is prom night. Everything is all
yeah, yeah.
No, instead of a disco, this is like a fucking LA club or Vegas club. Like,
yeah, they repurposed this one to be set in LA instead of Ohio. So, and every single one of this protagonist's friends look like they stepped out of Central Casting. They're all good looking, like ridiculously good looking. All the guys are ridiculously good looking. Is this a thing? Maybe it's a Beverly Hills thing. I don't know. It's that lost me at this point. Like you're supposed to have sympathy
for these
wealthy, good-looking people.
Even,
I could care less.
Even the teacher killer was ridiculously good-looking, too.
Yeah.
It's funny, because when he was a teacher...
He's the best-looking killer I've ever seen.
When he was a teacher, he looked like Charles Manson. And
yeah.
then when he escapes from the mental hospital...
Yeah, he's closely cropped.
And he cleaned up really well. And he looked like a model, man, which is kind of funny because...
He looked like their contemporaries. He could have been...
In the first, in the original Prom Night, the escaped lunatic was really just a red herring.
Red herring.
And in
yeah.
this one, the escaped lunatic propels the entire plot, and
yeah.
this is the teacher. And he's it's Prom Night, and he wants to, I guess, finish what he started, right? And
mm-hmm.
that is to basically be with his beloved, whatever her name was, Brittany Snow's character, with the scar that just appeared and disappeared
which,
at random.
Which seems odd, too, because he's an escaped lunatic, and you would think he would just be happy to be escaped, and to have escaped, and to just kill whoever he wants, and maybe move across country and start up a new life, killing. But he's so obsessed with Brittany Snow... that he has to finish the job there. He could have probably absconded from the law for the rest of his life when he escaped from the mental institution. That conceit was weird, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has to go all out of his way to find this girl and stalk her. Why not just leave, find another girl, and just continue
or instead,
your killing?
Assume a new identity. Find her on a more inconspicuous night.
Yeah.
They say he picks the most conspicuous night of all,
yeah, yeah.
prom night,
yeah.
And he goes to this hotel. And, I mean, God,
this is
man.
The most high-end, ridiculous prom night ever. Like,
mm-hmm.
look at this hotel. We were lucky in high school to throw, have a party in the local Motor Inn or the Holiday Inn. You know, a place, you know, $50 a night, you go there, like the no-tell motel. This place is like the Beverly Hills finest here. They got this ridiculous limo. Everything, they're dressed to the nines. These are the wealthiest, most good-looking, like, one percenters. Hell, you might as well kill them for all I care.
Yep.
So we should also say Idris Elba.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah, Stringer Bell from The Wire. Mm-hmm. He is the cop, but he's basically Stringer Bell, except he's a cop. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who is trying to track down the escaped teacher lunatic.
So this is fucking hilarious.
He's fucking terrible.
Idris Elba?
In this movie. Like, just slumming it beyond belief. He was the best thing about it, but he's pretty bad.
I mean, so, you know, there's so many stupid things in this movie. Like, first of all, talk about cliches. We had the mirror scare. I fucking hate that mirror scare.
The mirror scare that turns out to be a flashback. Or it's not, or a dream or something.
Yeah,
the medicine cabinet. I hate that.
We had the "Is anybody here?" You know, that sort of bullshit. You know, we had the convenience of the master key.
So this killer is trying to stalk his victims in this hotel where the prom is being held, and he kills one of the cleaning ladies, and he takes her swipe card to get into the room. And her swipe card says master on it. So it's the master key. Like, if you think of a worse security move your hotel than to call yourself. Like, might as well just invite anyone to beat up or rob or, like, steal from the maid.
Right.
They're roaming around with a master swipe card. Right.
So this allows some carte blanche going down the room.
Yeah, carte blanche, literally. It's a swipe card.
Yep. And so there's that. And as well as that, I mean, there's... so much stupidity, man. Like, there's the convenience of the fact that, like, when he texts, he goes, "Sir, you know, every facility is open except for the workout facility because we're renovating that," which allowed a convenient abandoned area for, like, an extended stock and slot scene, which, you know, again, was ridiculous.
And also, to paraphrase Freddie Mercury there, the prom must go on.
The show must go on. This guy
escaped from the lunatic asylum.
Right.
He's clearly... He's killed this woman's family, so you'd think they would put some immediately put security detail.
Right, but instead, Idris Elba goes to the uncle and says, "Okay, he's escaped. we have a feeling that he's
my bad
at the prom." My bad, exactly. Yeah. And I think we better pull her out and bring her home right now. And the uncle goes,
"This is a significant security, potentially security breaching moment." But the uncle says,
"No, he's been through too much."
Yeah, the prom must go on.
Not the prom night. Oh, no, we can't ruin the prom night. God forbid. So meanwhile, this lunatic ends up killing, like, all of her fucking friends, all because her stupid uncle didn't want to ruin her fucking prom night. All
right, now, and it should be said they did put a security detail eventually at her house, but they were quickly killed. But, again, put her in a safe house.
And then, don't forget, then at one point, you know, finally he figures, okay, I better save some lives here, you know, so he pulls a fire alarm, right?
Get everyone out of the hotel.
In this case, this is like, you know, get out of the alarm is going, this is an emergency, escape, abandon the hotel, escape, if you feel like it. I mean, it was like a suggestion.
They were dallying,
and of course, Brittany Snow, you know, who is the one that has to get the fuck out of there, goes back up in the room. Why?
Yeah, why? Because there's a memento that she's left in her room.
Fucking shawl.
Yeah.
It's all about a shawl.
Because her dead mother, this shawl is filled with resonance.
Yeah.
And this is a classic MacGuffin.
Yeah.
So so she has to go get this, you know, damn the torpedoes.
Yeah.
I got to go risk body and limb to get this fucking shawl.
Now, I mentioned earlier about Brittany Snow, and I mentioned the scar on her forehead that was...
I texted you in the middle of this. I was getting extremely bored by this thing. And Brittany Snow, I looked it up on IMDb. She was injured as a child, and she's a pretty good actress, but she was injured as a child, and she got a cut on her forehead. So, and she had stitches in it. At various points in the movie, it was being covered up and then not so well covered up. So we have scar continuity errors. And this is the kind of thing that was preoccupying my mind while I'm watching this good-looking serial killer dispatch with these attractive, good-looking Beverly Hills types.
Right. So, I mean, look, I mean, let's just say, this movie was, like, lazy.
This is bad.
It was pedestrian. It was insulting. It was derivative. It was unrealistic. uncreative, not scary.
No.
Every kill was like this little, like a neck slash. You know that? Like
there was one good, skewering in the gut. Yeah, but the rest of it was fairly tame.
Yeah, it was just like a little, it was more of like, I don't know, it was really, really fucking bad. I mean, like, bad. And, you know, killers have MOs, right? I mean, that's the whole thing, but this is just fucking ridiculous. Like you said before, just to be with this age inappropriate girl, you know, you're gonna like, ugh.
He could have lived out 30 years of his life just going up to Alaska or going to Mexico or whatever, but no, he has to finish what he started and get the girl. I gotta admit, I did watch the DVD commentary.
Why?
I don't. I do not know. I grudgingly give props to some of the acting was not bad. You could at least accept that they were friends, and in real life, Brittany Snow was friends with her colleagues there, and there were some good.
I did not notice those. Okay,
there's some good camera work where you didn't know where the killer was with the camera spinning around and hiding behind different posts and that. But that was all of 10 minutes. Mm. So for the most part, again, yeah, pedestrian. So pedestrian. You could have had yourself, hooked herself up with a nice walking shoe. This thing is pretty, pretty bad, and definitely, although the original was by no means a classic, as we said, a minor classic.
This
is pretty insulting to the aesthetic and the sensibilities of the remake.
Yeah,
and even shifting
the original.
The original. Even shifting the setting from what is naturally scary, which is a high school at night, mm-hmm. because only the gym is being used for the dance floor and for the prom. Everything else is dark. A hotel is well lit everywhere. So, of course,
tons of employees
everywhere. So they have to go to the basement to generate any sort of fright, because just being in a room and having this guy just kill people is very slick.
No, I mean,
had a very like a slick cinematography, very blue.
Yeah. No, the original look, it was charming, it was fun. It took a little while to get going, but once it got going it was good. It was well crafted, good movie, great music again, probably with the prom night theme. But I mean, this one just had just generic music on the soundtrack, and it, like I said before, it was just completely just really insulting to the audience, and just so not scary, not creative, just really bad. Now, I'm not going to damn every remake, because some are decent, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? People do forget.
Dawn of the Dead, for sure.
People do forget that some, horror classics that people revere, like The Thing, I mean, that itself was a remake, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But, some
or
remakes.
Or The Fly, yeah, there's certain Fly, examples exactly. of terrific remakes.
Yeah, I mean, the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Yeah, there you go. But, I mean, a lot of these remakes, I mean, there's really no reason to make them other than the fact that they can. Or that they just have a dearth of creative ideas when it comes to horror,
Yeah, and so, they could have called this Prom Night Massacre or just anything. This has no real, very tenuous ties to the original. And I guess, 1.5 stars for both of us, I'm assuming. 2 stars tops. No, this is pretty forgettable shit.
I'm giving this like a star.
A star?
Yeah.
It's a star. Decent performances. That's about it. For the most part, shoddy camera work, shoddy settings. Sort of meh dialogue, really compelling narrative, not a really scary killer.
By our patented rating scale, mm-hmm. right, a 1 is a must-miss.
Yeah, so 1.5 for sure.
This to me is a must-miss. Ergo, I'm giving it a star. You say that it's worth...
1.5 for a couple good performances. It's worth only... If the original Prom Night didn't exist, half a star. But it's worth comparing just to see how the two different conceptions of it are conceived. So, what did we learn?
What I learned is that, once again, I said this before. I mean, you know what? Like, don't... Just because you can remake a movie, or it doesn't mean you have to remake a movie. I mean, unless you're going to bring something new. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to do something, different. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, in this case, like I said, this was more or less a remake in name only, in the sense that, like, it really didn't have much to do with the original Prom Night, but it just, honestly, like, this was one of the most needlessly stupid remakes I've ever seen, so mm-hmm. I learned that this was a bloody waste of my time. What did you learn?
I learned that putting on a baseball cap enough to, like,
that's a great disguiser.
That's an incredible disguise, so you can check into a... how did he check into the hotel? Under whose ID? This guy is wanted, one of America's most wanted across the entire United States. He's a triple murderer.
Yep.
He basically cuts his hair.
He just wanders around.
Yeah, he's got a baseball cap. And a ball cap. Oh, yeah. There you go.
I mean, at one point he's in an elevator with, like, you know, the students that, like, you know, were, you know, under his tutelage. And he's like, you know, and they don't recognize him.
Yeah, 3 years later, they don't realize, oh, that's Mr. So-and-so.
But don't forget, he takes the brim of the ball cap and even pulls it down.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So, yeah, between glasses and a baseball cap, those are, like, the great disguisers, so.
Oh, and there's another age-related bit of humor here where the, again, not as bad, because we flash forward 3 years ahead for these girls, whereas the original was six, and they look 30, they look 21 here. There's a scene in an elevator where Brittany Snow and her friends are going down to the dance floor, and there's these guys in the elevator, and they're supposed to be these Wall Street one percenter types. Mm-hmm. And they look like they could have been contemporaries. And they certainly didn't look much older than 30. And the friends and her girlfriends looked maybe 23, 24. And when they exit the elevator, they go, oh, my God, that was creepy. You see those old guys hitting on
fathers.
Yeah, hitting on us. Meanwhile, yeah, they could have been, they're probably, you know, both born in the 90s. Or, no, maybe not, 80s, whenever this thing took place. It's a god-awful thing.
Chris, before we set off, let me ask you a question. Do you regret not going to your prom?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all. Okay. No. No. And you won't regret missing Prom Night, the remake. But, you know, put on your platforms and disco boogie to the original, because there's great dancing and some good atmosphere and some good kills.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, for more, check out reallyawfulmovies.com.
And we'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you soon.